This is Twit.
But we're going to meet W0BT, Clark Hatch. He's an amazing guy. So we're going to run through these pretty fast, and you're going to see why I was so infatuated with the visit and why I love talking to him on 75 meter AM in the morning. So let's get set to go. Brian, we'll run through these pretty quick. There he is in Shawnee County, Kansas, near Topeka. He's got a lot going on. Clark Hatch, here we go. He builds everything, and guess what? He still does paper logs, as I do. But that's what we do when we're old. A bunch of us from the MOCAN group went down to visit him. That's Daryl and Bill, and that's Clark standing there looking so proud. This is why he looks so proud. Look at all of this stuff. This is just
wow.
And you'll notice that most everything you see is home built. You'll see a few receivers, but everything here he's built from scratch, designed it all. That's a 390 receiver. He loved 390s. You're going to see in a minute more of them. He loves to collect things too. And hey, why not have one of the great little radios that we all started with, a little regen receiver. We all had to do that years ago. And you should be doing that now, too. Here's a one-tube transmitter. This was very popular in the 50s. It was a novice transmitter. Two tubes, a rectifier and a final. Crystal controlled. Yeah, he didn't buy the AT1. He built his AT1. Started from scratch. He even bolted his own chassis. And there's a typical setup with the Hallicrafters HT32 and so on. But the receiver is one of the receivers he built decades ago. Now, see, not everybody builds a receiver. That's a toughie. But he builds lots of them. That was one of the first. And, of course, everybody has to have a Collins somewhere in your collections, I guess. But true to form of Clark, he has a lot of Collins. And when he goes out and collects things, he really makes it happen. And there's just all kinds of great stuff. Now, he loves R390s. And if you're having trouble finding one, this might be it. Because he collects them and restores them to the nth degree. Everything here works, and they're working perfectly, and he just collects all that stuff. But guess what? He's got a good old Mosley CM1, and to go along with the Mosley CM1, you had to have a Mosley generator. Now, this is very special. When John Clemens went to design his CM1 receiver, he needed a generator, and in those days, there wasn't a good generator, so he built his own, and it's one of the best generator frequency generators there are today and still is. Clark will tell you that, and you see what he did. He goes out and collects them all, but he uses them every day. So why not have the best John Clemens frequency counters and his generators, all of that? That's one of the first receivers that Clark did. And it's just gorgeous to see this stuff. You got to remember, some of this was built years ago. Another receiver. Now, check that out. It's all digital, and everything about what he does, he's got DSP filtering. Nope, it's all crystal filtering, but it's done right. Boy, if we could buy that stuff today. Then we get into this. This is a transceiver with an 813. It's an AM transceiver. Just fabulous stuff. He comes up with these great ideas. This was, I just thought, the cutest thing. It's a little amplifier. Of course, none of his stuff little puts out a kilowatt or more, but isn't it clean looking? Again, you'll see down the line here in a minute, he does everything. He makes the chassis, all of the pieces and parts. He makes it all. There's another transmitter with a Hallicrafter receiver. And I like the sign. My wife says if I don't give up ham radio, she's going to leave me. Lord, I'm going to miss her. Oh, golly. And we had so much fun at this place. And here is another. Now, this goes back probably 30, 40 years with him, but he still has all these old pieces, and they work, and they work really well. This is a wonderful little transceiver that I saw, and he does mostly RTTY with this transmitter. I thought that was really cool because it was small, but again, he made every piece, the chassis, everything. There's that transmitter again, sitting in another. Yeah, I think he had two or three of the same one, and it just looks so good. Here's another one. This is a roller inductor pair 3500s, I think, in here. But I'm just amazed at his metalwork. He uses old highway signs. He used to work for the highway department, and they'd toss out highway signs. He'd take them and strip them down and use them. Now, here comes the goodie. Typical station, okay? He has an HC32 Hallicrafters and a transmitter and the Hallicrafter receiver. But what you see to the left of him is his final. Now, most of us have finals, and they're band-switching finals, a pair of tubes or one tube. These are individual amplifiers on all the frequencies of 75, 40, 20, 15, and 10. They're all individual amplifiers, and all he does is switch the inputs and outputs. They stay tuned on each band. How cool is that? Well, that was done in 1963. That was the major article in the 1963 ARRL handbook, how to build that particular transmitter. And it's not one, it's five. And he built one for each band. Isn't that cool? And if you look real close, you can see the input coils up there. They're smaller and then bigger and bigger and bigger as they get to the bottom with the with the 75 meters. It's just cool. I really enjoyed seeing that piece of gear. That was cool. And I don't know how long it took him to build, but it would have been longer than a day. Okay, here's how it all starts. He was building an amplifier and starting, and this is how he does it. Lays out his front panel. Notice up in the left corner, you can see one of the street signs before he took the paint off of it. But he makes all the panels from that wonderful aluminum and gets it all set up to cut out the parts, pieces, meters, knobs, controls. And this is the chassis of another transmitter, but you see he's got everything there, all the coils, all the tube sockets. Just cool. This, he was working on it on the final for that front plate you saw a minute ago. And I talked to Clark yesterday, and by golly, he's got it working. So we'll have to get him back on the air and see. There's another one that was beautiful, beautiful construction. It looks like it was built in a plant somewhere. It was. It was built in the W0BT plant. Beautiful construction. And, of course, design. You have to be able to design all these things. And this is underneath one of the transmitters. And he just does such beautiful work. You're so to be commended. Now, we've been talking about all salt stuff. You figured, well, you know, Clark, all he does is sit around on a... Oh, no. This is a soft rock. Hey, George, check it out. He's one of these guys that says, well, while I got the brake a bending and I'm lettering all these boxes, I might as well build... Well, how many? Seven of them, I think was... He just builds a bunch of them, and I just marvel at the fact that he, and now he's on AM every morning with us with his gorgeous-sounding AM signal, and it's from a soft rock. So he's up to date, very much up to date, and I admire him so much. He's such a talent, and he's a national treasure to amateur radio. So I appreciate being able to show you these and taking the time tonight. But I hope you enjoyed it. Send him an email. Tell him you enjoyed it. W0BT. Get on the air on 3885 in the mornings on AM. Join us, because you will find a lot of great guys on the MOCAN boot. It's really great. Missouri, Kansas, Arkansas, Oklahoma, all kinds of guys on there. But we're on AM. Still the old stuff, but boy, oh boy, new radios work just as well. So thanks a lot for the time there. I hope that you did enjoy it.